So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather on this significant date, the 8th of the 5th, 2025, especially considering what is going on in Rome. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are not defeated, but Father, we are on the right side of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are those who have been not only called, but chosen. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we've been chosen, Father, we can press on to the high calling of the mark in Christ Jesus. And Father, let us not faint, but Father, let us be those that are led by you and by the Holy Ghost. And Father, I pray right now, Lord, that the word that would come forth would sink deep within our souls. Father, that it may bring forth fruit and much fruit in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, so we met 2 weeks ago and we were speaking about, you know, those things that will be. And we also spoke about the judgment that must first appear in the house of God. And I want to just carry on a little bit on that theme. The appearing before God of all the ungodly, and I want to deal with that first. And it's clearly declared in the Word of God. And it is their archway into eternity, if you think about it. And this ordeal that is there, that no man would want to go through, nor should be desired by any, but rather to be vehemently feared. And so the horror and the terror of this eternal judgment that is to come, and it's there which is to take the unjust, and they will be condemned to hell. And this should motivate for all right now to cry out to God for mercy. And Peter in his epistle writes that the heaven and earth are kept in store, and it says specifically reserved by the word of God. In other words, it's Jesus that's keeping it and controlling it for the day of judgment. And as the ungodly world in the times of Noah perished in the floods of water, when God closed that chapter of creation and created a new heaven and new earth, or not a heaven, but the heavens around the earth, as it were, the atmosphere. So in this day of this chapter that we're in at the moment will be closed by fire, and this, however, will close to open up another eternal chapter of God's final judgment upon the ungodly and the devil and all his fallen angels. And so 2 Peter, and I'm just going to bring up the scripture here, 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to read 6 to 7 and 10 to 12, where it says, whereby the world that was then was, being overflowed with water, perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements, actually is plural, shall melt with fervent heat. And so Jude, also reflecting upon the prophecy that was spoken by Enoch, brings to our attention the revelation of God when he gave and he also saw the return of the Lord Jesus with 10,000s of his saints. And it says specifically to execute judgment on the ungodly. And so Jude 14 to 15, as it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly amongst them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So it seems that it is the sheer mercy of God that even in the final chapter of his word, that it was made available to us. This word has been made available to us even now in this chapter of creation. And God declares a somber warning to all mankind, starting and stating, and it starts with the whosoever, and it states that the whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire to be judged and condemned forever. And that, just to confirm that, where Revelations 20, 12 to 15 says, "And I saw the dead, great, small, and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And then that brings me on to the topic that the angels will also be judged. So while it is the judgment of man that is most relevant to us, it's also important for us to stand that out of the word of God, and that it declares that all will stand before God to be judged. And this includes the angels. Before the foundation of the earth, the angels were united in the presence of God and obedience to God. And the scripture bears witness that Lucifer exalted himself above the presence of God and was cast out of heaven, and he drew with him a third of the angels. And so in Isaiah 14, I'm just going to read 12 to 15, where it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And that's Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. And then in Ezekiel 28 and just 15 to 7, it says, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." And then it says, "Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast captured the wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So the act of God removing these fallen angels and the one who led them from his presence was an act already of judgment, in which they were condemned, cast out and barred from his eternal presence. And Jude in his epistle refers to this in verse 6, saying that these angels are reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto judgment of that great day. And so in his epistle, where Jude is almost dedicating to the point to God's intention to judge. And according to how he has been doing that throughout the ages. And so he draws his epistle to a conclusion by referring to the prophecy of Enoch, who declares that the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his angels to execute judgment upon all. And Jude makes a specific reference to the saints coming with the Lord to execute judgment, being including the angels that are in line for judgment. And so the Apostle Paul confirms this anticipation of the angels being judged in his epistle to the Corinthian church. And you can go and read it there in 1 Corinthians 6:1-3. And it's really a reminder to believers that the plan of what is the plan that God has for us. Because it says they will judge the world. And so Paul then provokes us to arise now in spiritual maturity to judge matters of life in our daily walk with God by saying, don't you know that you shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So this is the question, is that the only ones that really can judge are those that are called to maturity in God. And how do we become mature? Well, we need to get grounded and rooted in the Word of God. And we need to make sure that the gift of Christ is raised up in us, whether it be one of the fivefold, so that we can exercise what God has laid in our lives. And so I've already said that, you know, that everything that we preach and we say concerning God and His Word is recorded, and nothing is hid before God, and it would all be revealed one day, yet some will be saved by fire. And Jude 5:5-10 says, I will therefore put in remembrance that you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Judgment. And then he goes on, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. And he says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after the strange feast, and are set forth for an example, suffering in the vengeance of eternal fire. And likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominions, and speak evil of dignitaries, happening now in our midst. And then it says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And so this is the challenge. Doesn't matter how strong you are in Christ, we need to understand the power of the devil. And if the angel couldn't rebuke him, what are we that angels should be mindful of them? So here's the challenge. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. We can't do it in our own state, saying, I rebuke thee. There is no such thing. Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of God, who has conquered hell and the grave, who bore upon himself the sins of this world, and died and rose up again and is seated there at the right hand of God. That man whom God has appointed to judge the heavens and the earth, in his name,
yes,
Jesus Christ, be rebuked.
Mm.
And that's how it works. And so it says, but these speak evil of those things which they knew not, but what they now know naturally as Bruce beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. And then Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 6:1-3 where he says, "Dare any of you having a matter against you," and this is talking about judgment, "go to the law before the unjust and be not before the saints." And so this is the challenge, because even in Christian circles, people take each other to court. And they leave the scripture lying flat on the floor. We can't afford to do that. But we have to take our matters before the saints. And I spoke about this the last time that we were together. But it's very important, an emphasis in our daily lives, in our daily walks. Where he says, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world should be judged by you, are ye, in other words, plural, unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" And then he says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So that day is coming when we will be not like the angels, we will be like Christ in eternity. And therefore we will be able to do exactly what the scripture says. And so the restraint imposed upon the fallen angels of God, when they were judged and cast out of heaven, the chains of bondage continues for eternity. And so by this judgment, they are bondage to darkness, rebellion and sin, and lying and stealing and thieving and murdering. And under the authority of Lucifer, the fallen archangel, who is also under the same judgment, and in due course, according to the time schedule set by God, these angels will be cast into the lake of fire. And this fire is the habitation prepared by God for the devil and his angels, and it's God's final judgment upon them. And so Jesus said this of the lake of fire, which was prepared specifically for angelic beings that had fallen. And so Matthew 25:41 confirms this, where Jesus says, "Then they shall say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So the angels of light, who maintain their habitation and place in the presence of God, will continue to enjoy that place in God's presence and under his command. And that's the thing is that we spoke about this on Wednesday morning. They are there as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. They don't come to do anything that's pleasing for us. They come to do what's pleasing to God. They are messengers of God. They don't bring messengers of men anywhere. They only bring what God says. And so God made his final judgment for them and his state. And in this state they will remain. So they continue to exercise their service of God as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. And folk, when you've received that, you know what God is doing with you. And Hebrews 1:13-14 says, "But which of the angels sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits?" And that's that beautiful scripture that I read on Wednesday morning, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation. Beautiful that we have the backing of heaven behind us, no matter where we find ourselves, whether it's at home, in church, in a place of worship, or even in a place of work, we are covered. So it brings me to the point of the beast and the false prophets that will be judged. You see, the beast and the false prophets are prominent figures that appear during the tribulation period. And their commencement of the seven-year event concludes the dispensation of grace. And it is a time when God will address the Jewish nation again. So the beast and the false prophets, under the direction and inspiration of dragon, who is Lucifer, will speak great words and perform wonders that they will deceive many to arise against Christ Jesus and God and all those that are in the nation of Israel. So the tribulation period will conclude with the great battle called Armageddon. And this is where the beast and the false prophets' time will cease, and the part that they played, even as God permitted and had full knowledge of. However, this is when their dominion rule will be defeated, including their army, and all those who were deceived, both bond and free. And at this magnificent event that's going to take place, or should I rather say this momentous, monumental battle that takes place, the beast and the false prophets will face the judgment of God and will be cast into the lake of fire after that battle. And so this says in Revelation 19:13-20, where it says, and he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him up upon with the white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw the angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and the armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and then that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire and burning with brimstone. I'll deal with that scripture a little bit more when we come together to deal with who those two really are. But it's just to understand what I'm dealing with here tonight is about judgment and who will be judged. So those two entities, you see, the beast and the false prophet, they will be judged as well. And that's when it will take place, at that battle. And then they will be cast into burning fire and brimstone. And then finally, the nations will also be judged. So Matthew 25, Jesus refers to a judgment that is specifically directed at the nations of the world. And this judgment is not to be viewed as God dealing with individuals, but rather with nations. And in Matthew 25, Jesus refers to the sheep nations and goat nations, and then also his brethren. And this scripture is linked with the command made by Balaam regarding the nations of Israel in Numbers 23, verse 9, where he says, "Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall be reckoned amongst the nations," talking about his brethren. And Israel is again separated as God's people, his brethren, leaving the goat and the sheep nations to be Gentile nations. And so the sheep nations, who show kindness and favor to the nations of Israel, are admitted into the kingdom prepared for them by God. Why do you think there's such a battle on the moment going on for Israel right now? It's coming to that point, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming soon. And so these nations are judged or called by God as sheep. They enter into the millennium when Jesus will rule as described with his saints. And so the goat nations who despise the Jews will be cast into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These nations are not separated by borders, but it's separated by what you believe in. And so Matthew 25, 31 to 46 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer them, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee to drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these," in other words, pointing, "my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And then he goes on to explain, "For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. I was naked, and ye clothed me not. I was sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not." Then shall they answer unto saying, "Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee?" And then he shall answer them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of least of these," in other words, my brethren, "ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." You see, the life that we lead now has momentous value. But it is, we need to choose this day whose side we're taking. It's come to that point. And this is the gospel that needs to be preached, because there's many that are against that nation. God's people, the king's brethren. And if you're against that, check your heart and let God by the Holy Ghost convince you and teach you the truth. See, this judgment and this separation will take place at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus returns to set up his millennium kingdom. And here the sheep nations that enter the millennium refers to as the world by Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 2, where it says, do you know that the saints shall judge the world? And they will be under the authority of Christ and his saints, who will rule with a rod of iron to execute judgment in their reign with Christ. And so Revelations 2, 26 to 27 says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule with them a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So according to the scriptures, the end time unfolding is set by God to take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat, you know, and it's generally believed that this valley, this place of final judgment, is the Kidron Valley, which runs between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. And it includes in this stage is the Mount of Megiddo. And so in this place, from which we read about in the revelation that John received in chapter 16, verse 16, where he uses the title as Armageddon. And really the Hebrew for this is Hill of Megiddo. And the Greek use it as Armageddon, which is where we understand the title of the battle that concludes the tribulation period. And Joel says in 3:1-2, for behold, I'm just going to read a few scriptures out of Joel and then I'll get to Revelation 16. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and I will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered amongst the nation and parted my land. What a prophecy. And then continue in 11-12, says, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about, to the cause that they might once to come down. O Lord, let the heathen be wakened, and come unto the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. And here's the thing, is that people make out that Armageddon is going to be such a terrible thing. Well, one thing's for sure is that I'm not going to be on the wrong side of that battle. And that's what we shall all determine to be, is to be on the right side of that battle. In any case, we might not even be involved, because just one legion of God's angels would destroy it. But here's the thing. When they gather, it's God's plan, because he has already prophesied, as we read the scripture, that they will be woken up to go there. They will have a drive. And even as we can declare now, Satan thinks that even when he put Jesus on the cross through men's hands, that he had the victory. When Satan thinks that he brings his whole army against God, that he will get the victory, we know the end of the conversation. So Revelation 16, verse 16 says, and he gathered them together into the place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. The battle of Armageddon is that war that concludes the tribulation period after the 7 years. And this seven-year drama, tribulation period, will be filled with dramatic and miraculous events by which God will break open seals, as according to Revelation 6. And when he says, I saw the Lamb open up one of the seals, and I heard, and as it were, a noise of thunder, and one of four beasts saying, come and see. And so I think what I'll do is that we'll close there for tonight, and maybe we'll go into that bit about the breaking of the seals next week when we get together, which will be quite an interesting subject. Sandy, if you will close in prayer for us, please. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you that we have been able to gather this evening to hear the ministering of your word in spirit and in truth. Father God, thank you that you are for us. Thank you that your compassions fail not. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Father God, that it is your will that not one should perish. Thank you, Father God, for your incredible and perfect plan of salvation for every man, every woman, every child. Thank you, Father God, for the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Thank you, King Jesus. Thank you for your obedience to the Father. All honor and all glory belong to you, King of kings and Lord of lords. And we declare in this gathering tonight that the earth is yours, Jesus, and the fullness thereof. The nations are yours, King Jesus, and the fullness thereof. Take your rightful place in our hearts and take your rightful place in the nations of the earth, King Jesus. Amen. All honor and all glory belong to you. Father God, thank you for your word, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. Father God, thank you for your word, which is yea and amen. Father God, we believe your word. We believe every word of your word, Father God. And we accept every word of your word, Father God. We do not have any questions. We do not have any doubts. We do not have any ifs and buts. We say, Father God, we receive it all. Download it all into our spirit, Father God. Write your word on the fleshly tabernacles of our hearts, Lord, that regardless of what lies ahead of us, your word will be hidden in our heart. It will be there for all eternity, Father God. We confess tonight with gladness the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift his name on high, Father God, and we say that all honor and all glory belong to the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star. King Jesus, we bow the knee before you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for what you have done for us. We thank you for your obedience to the Father. We thank you for the suffering, the scourging, the degradation, the mockery that you endured on our behalf, the spotless Lamb of God on behalf of sinful man. Lord Jesus, we cannot adequately express our gratitude and our worship of you, but we pray that you will accept the fruit of our lips tonight, Lord. Father God, I pray that you purify our hearts, each one of us on this call tonight and those who will hear this message in the days and weeks and months ahead. Purify our hearts. Remove everything from our thinking, from our minds, from our actions, from our thoughts that is not of you, Father God. Uproot the weeds, Lord. Let them burn and die in the midday sun, Father God. Let us be purified vessels before you that lay down our lives, that lay down our selfish ambitions, that lay down our dreams. We pray that your perfect will be done in our lives. Father God, we pray that your kingdom come in our lives, Father God. We pray that your perfect will be done in our families, Father God. We pray that your kingdom come in our families, Father God. We pray that your perfect will be done in our marriages, Father God. We pray that your kingdom come with magnificence and power and glory in our marriages, Father God. Let us be salt and light in this dark world, Lord. Let each one of us and our families be salt and light. Salt and light, salt and light, wherever we go, wherever we put our feet, whichever conversation we contribute towards, a real conversation or a virtual conversation, let us be salt and light, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We understand the hour that we live in, Father God, and we pray that you would bring a soberness upon us, Lord. We pray, Father God, for wisdom. We pray for discernment. We pray for the discerning of spirits, Father God. Amen. We pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and that you continue working with the soil of our hearts, Amen. Day in and day out, day in and day out.
Fashion us, mold us, great potter, into instruments that bring beauty and glory and honor to your name, Father God. Lord, part us with your blessing now as we close this ministry session, we pray in Jesus' mighty, matchless, magnificent name. Amen.